And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. I just simply want to preach tonight. Get up. You may be seated. I have 2 points tonight. The first point is get up and serve him. I'd like to read the next two scriptures in this passage in Mark 16, 16 through 18. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This passage of scripture spoke out to me whenever God was laying this upon my heart, and it just came to me that we need to grab hold of what God said before us. And as we begin to follow after God, he will reveal more and more to us as the more that God has planned for us, the more powerful into God we will be. And he can pour his spirit out and power upon us all he wants, day after day, hour after hour, constantly pouring into us, but we may not even feel it or use it. When this came to my mind, I thought of how Jesus had healed all those that he had healed. And whenever they were healed, he had said, Thy faith hath made thee whole. We can have 20 somewhat people praying for us that has had God use them to heal many, many people, but we may not get healed until we have faith that God will heal us. We have to believe. We have to get up and realize that it is with us that God can use us. In Luke 24:49, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. This is the promise that Luke had been spoken to from Jesus. This is the third from last scripture in Luke. In my Bible this week, I was learning about the New Testament and all the different types of books, how there was the Gospels, then there were the Pauline epistles, the ones that Paul wrote, the general epistles. Then there was only one prophetical revelation. But then we see with all the Gospels that Luke had never met Jesus. Luke had talked to the eyewitnesses of Jesus, but he had never personally met him. All through Luke, this book in the Bible was brought, and Luke began to talk about Jesus as perfect man. And then this last scriptures, he gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit began to speak to Luke, he was following after God, and he was writing these last words. And then we get ended on a cliffhanger. We get this promise, but we never got the answer. And then Luke wrote a sequel in Acts 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The great commission that God had left us, the promise that he had given through Luke, was fulfilled, and my Bible studies in school had said it was around 30 years after Luke was written that he wrote Acts. and it was to the same person. But then the Acts of the Apostles, not the Acts of Luke, not the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts that the Apostles grabbed a hold of, the Acts that the Holy Spirit used the Apostles in. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all there, just as Jesus had commanded them. And in last year, in my Bible, it had telling me how they had church in the Bible times. And I just want to put a plug in for church cleaning. Because in the Bible times, the people had church in their houses. The pastor, the preachers, they didn't clean up. The people that were hosting that time cleaned up. And there are so many jobs here. The floors need vacuumed, and every once in a while, chairs need wiped. Then there's so many different things that can be cleaned. But then we find ourselves fellowshipping, and that's all good. But then if we don't get the sanctuary and the church cleaned, then we're going to be fellowshipping in a dirty place. God wants to use us in every way that he can. He wants to use us in the ways that are small and the ways that may not seem so clear. The platform is for those that are following after God and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the congregation is to back those. They are to help with the small jobs that go noticed by those that are following after the Holy Spirit. They are noticed by the people of importance in God's eyes. And God notices the small jobs. He notices the little things. Whenever we rise up, get up, and serve God to further his kingdom, we are going into the world, and we are beginning to minister to those. We are beginning to witness to those that do not quite know Jesus. They may know of him, but they do not know the fine details. In my Brother Pepper assigned all the ninth graders and a few others a keyboarding and software application in our Ignitia. And it, the first unit, the first part of it was defining fine terms, the difference between hardware and software, the different technologies that are rising now, the different types that we can use in all the different ways. I knew the difference between hardware and software, but then I got into the fine details and I learned more and more. We may know of something, but we may not know all of it. We can know of the rainbow. Every kid knows what the rainbow is. They may not know how it is, but they know what it is. They know all the colors in it. But then as we begin to grow in our education, we will begin to learn that it is reflections off the water droplets after rain. Just as we will begin to grow in our education of the Word and of Jesus Christ as he begins to use us more and more, we will begin to realize that we are learning new things and new ways to witness to others and to follow after God and complete his will. In Acts 2:17 and 18, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out on those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." In verse 18, it mentions the servants and the handmaidens. These were the people that were underfoot. These were the people that cleaned up after the well-known people, after the people that paid them. And these were the people that didn't get a lot of praise. Only by those that were important in God's eyes, only those that were right in the heart, would begin to congratulate them if they did good. Just as waiters, if they did a good job, it is our job as a Christian to tip. If we cannot, then at least leave a little bit. Tell them how good a job they did. And if they didn't do great, still leave them a tip. It may not be as good as a tip, but it's still showing that you are a Christian. It is witnessing to those, and it may encourage them to do better. As we go to the grocery store, we will see the cashiers. They may not be very talkative, they may be very talkative, but either way, they're still doing their job in the way that they're supposed to do it. We can go throughout every day, claim we're a Christian, and we may not witness to a single person a day. I'm guilty of being shy and bashful. I'm not very good at talking to people I don't know. But God's been dealing with me to talk to more and more people. Just say, hello, how are you? And then several times they say, it's so rainy outside, why are you so happy? I just say that I have a good reason to be happy. I'm following after Jesus, and I'm happy to be following after him. And God's been working with me to begin to reach out more and more to those around me, to share what he's been laying upon my heart. He may share to me something about Brother Timothy, something he wants me to share to him, but it's still up to me to say that to him. Brother Timothy may not be getting it through to him, and this may be the word of encouragement to help him get through. But then if I do not, then he will not. If it isn't me, it'll always be someone else. God will want to use you, but he will always have a backup plan. I know there are people that question how God can know everything and how everything will turn out, and how he has a plan. This is my explanation. God has several plans. It branches out into several thousands of different plans that have an intersection at every decision, that have an intersection at every choice. And there's a right way and a wrong way. You can go the wrong way, but you can always climb back up that ladder. But then you can keep going down and down the ladder. You can get all the way bottom to the rock bottom to hell. But God will always bring you back up again if you're willing to make the right choices. But we have to grab a hold of the rungs of the ladder. We have to begin to climb up and up and decide to reach up and grab the next rung and reach our foot up to step up. Then I want to read Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is saying that God has given us a promise that if we will follow after him in his will and in faith, he will answer the needs that we need. Not that we want, that we need. He will answer the needs that we will begin to pray for others. Intercessory prayer. He will begin to use our faith to encourage those that are looking for that answer. He'll begin to use our faith to begin to give the sick person slightly better reports. But then it'll always be the sick person's faith that will completely heal them. It'll always be the person that is being needing to be moved on. It is always a choice. I want to move to my next point. Get up and praise him. I want to go back to Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. They were praising God in one accord. They were singing the same songs. They were playing the same music. They were following after what they knew. They were all in one place. We are supposed to have the church body at our homes, but the church sanctuary is a sacred place. It is a place that we need to keep clean and holy. It is a place that we gather together and hear from the Lord and begin to worship him. We can worship him all day long, but this is the place that we are around our fellow men. This is the place where we have other Christian neighbors. This is the place that we will not be judged as much. This is the place where God can deal with us as hard as he can. And if we do not do it here, we won't do it out there. We can run around the church, we can jump, we can holler, we can sing, but we will not always jump. We will not always holler. We will not always pray. Here, praying. We pray every 5 minutes. Praying is half of church service. And that's the reason this is such a sacred building. if we were to take our prayer out there as much as we pray in here, there wouldn't be near as much evil in the world. There wouldn't be near as many suicides. There wouldn't be near as much depression. There wouldn't be near as many drug addicts, alcoholics. God would use us to follow after him. Just as Einstein had said, he had failed with the light bulb several hundreds of times. But then he never gave up. He had said that, "I have not found 100 somewhat times to fail. I found 100 somewhat times that it didn't work." He had found a way that finally worked after so many tries. But then he finally got it. He kept pursuing perfection. Sister Lindsay led a chapel service, and she had a quote from a football coach, Vince Lombardi. He had said that we can pursue perfection all day long, but we will never attain it. But on our way to perfection, we will find excellence. He had said that the definition of excellence is the uncommon way to do a common thing. We can talk to people in a common way. We can talk to them about the weather, sports, the news. But then we can talk about those things in an uncommon way. We can talk about the same sports, news, and weather in a cheerful way. Our team may have lost, but we can say that they found a way to do it better. They found a way that it didn't work. The weather may be bad, but we will always find a way that can help us. After a dry drought, it can storm, it can rain, cats and dogs, but then that ground will be soft enough to dig. It'll be soft enough to pack. Brother Jason, if it rains and rains and rains, and then it continues to rain, is it any good to build a pad? But then after a long dry route, and it rains and rains, is it even better? As we begin to look at different things that may seem depressing, that may seem bleak, God will show up as the light. As he is the light, you will follow after him, and he will light up any dark situation. But then we have to get up and praise him for what he has done. You have to praise him for what he will do and what he is doing now. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Many of us know this passionate scripture. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Verse 2, it says, serve the Lord. Psalm is a book of praise. We praise God through serving him. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." We have to do it ourselves. God's not going to push us into it. We have to walk into the gates. "And enter and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." We got to thank him for it. We got to bless him for it. We got to follow after him. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." His truth will be the same yesterday, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years later, and it's still the same. It's still his word. It's still him ministering to God-led men, to Holy Spirit-filled people that will follow after God, that will follow after him and continue to do his will. John Eliot, he was a missionary to Ecuador. And at that time, none of those natives have ever heard of Jesus. They didn't even speak English. And they first began by flying over in a yellow plane. Nate Saint drove that plane. And as they would fly over, they would continue to see forest and jungle all the time. But then one day, After their search, they saw a few huts. They saw a village. It was one of the most remote villages in Ecuador. It was in the center of the jungle. Hardly anybody had been there, and if anybody did, they didn't come back. There was a river nearby that they cleared out, and that plane would land there. They built a base. And as they would fly by, they would begin to drop gifts down, and then the natives would begin to send gifts back up. So the natives would follow that plane to that base as they landed. And Jim Elliot began to minister to them. Then as one of the women got saved, she went back and told her village, and they killed her for it. But then Jim Elliot didn't let this discourage him. He continued to minister to them. Then one day, the village came after him, and they killed him. All this time, Nate Saint, Jim Elliot, and I can't remember the third missionary's name, but they had kept in touch with their wives through radio. Their wives had radioed and radioed. And finally, they went over there, and they found their husbands dead. And those women went and saved that entire village. That entire village was saved because of Jim Elliot and his sacrifice. Nate Saint, the third missionary, they continued to serve God, and they got the reward. They got the reward of seeing that village saved. They may not have seen it in this world, they saw it in heaven. They saw the devotion they spent in their families, the time that they had spent with God, with their families, that the willingness of their wives to keep Jim Elliot and Nate Saints, their wives were willing to keep their calling. They were willing to follow after God. They were willing to risk their lives to follow after God and finish their husband's will and God's. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him in his sanctuary. We are his sanctuary. Praise him for what he's doing for us. Praise him for the firmament of his power. That's for the power that he's laid out before us, that we are to grab a hold of and use and praise him with it. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Timbrel and dance. Timbrel, tambourine. It's a handheld instrument. It says timbrel and dance. Dancing is not wrong in church, as long as it is through the Spirit. If we are driven by the music, then we can cut off the music. But if we can continue to serve God without it, we are following after God. There's nothing wrong with music. It can help the service. Song leaders are led by God to praise God, to begin to choose the songs that God is leading them to, that can minister to someone. It can be the breaking point of someone that is following after God. I know that many of times I had been struggling and struggling, and I couldn't figure out what to say. And then Sister Lindsay or Brother Robert or Sister Sarah would pick a song, would do a next song. They may not have even planned it, but they began to sing that song, and that song spoke to me, and it helped me get through. If we are driven by the music, then we are not following after God. And I know that newer music may not always seem as good. It may have a different type of music, but if it is still praising God, then it isn't of the devil. It may be for the wrong reasons, but then Christians can take that song and they can make it God's. They can begin to use the talent that God had given them, begin to follow after God with it. And then we got to use the hymns. The hymns is one of the things that separated us from the Catholic Church. Martin Luther had promoted hymns. He was the one that brought them about. He was the one that promoted congregational worship. It may not be the same now, but it is the same truth and idea that it was back then as it is now. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. I know that sometimes the drums may be a little loud and chaotic, but I have to say, God can move in that drum cage. God can move across this platform as well as he can down there, as well as he can back there, as well as he can coming through the doors. He can pray. He can move anywhere, anytime, just as he is anywhere, anytime. The piano is a lead instrument. We can have church with just the piano. The bass backs the piano and it helps keep the rhythm. The drums follows after the rhythm of the bass. And the piano. And then all tied together, we can begin to have worship service. We can begin to praise God through all the instruments that we have, the saxophone. We need more instruments. Anybody that can play an instrument, if they are following after God, Brother Pepper, if they will follow after God and they can play an instrument, are they welcome to play here? If we will follow after God, then those in leadership that also follow after God will promote your calling. I was unsure because I was 14 to preach. I didn't want to go up and tell Brother Pepper about it. I didn't want to tell anybody about it. But then whenever that one day that God, Brother Shelton was sick, and Brother Pepper asked me if I wanted to preach, if I wanted to make a prelude, and I ended up preaching. Because God had let Brother Shelton be sick, he had brought about the opportunity for me to follow after his will. It may have not been then, if Brother Shelton was still in well health, then it would have been fine. But God had chose that moment to test my faith. He had chosen that moment to see if I was willing to follow after him. He gave me the perfect opportunity at the perfect time for me to follow after him and accept his calling that he had placed upon my life. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God had given us breath. The breath in our lungs is of God's. We are just dust and water. We are mud without God's breath. I know there are many accounts of people praising God, and all of a sudden a breeze or a wind would blow past them, and they would look around hoping someone would pass by. No one would be there. We can get doodads all up our spine, and we can get goosebumps, but it'll mean nothing if we don't praise him for it. If we don't praise him for the Holy Ghost, we won't keep the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has come about by praise. The Holy Ghost is brought about by the following after God and his praise that he would want us to. This is Brother Pepper had said, if we say we'll never praise someone like that, that's probably going to be the next way he'll challenge you to praise. I know there are many things that he had put in my mind, and I thought it was the devil because I couldn't feel God. But then I remember so many times I had been told, if it'll praise God, it's not Satan. It's not the devil if it'll praise God. So I began to do those things that God had put into my mind, and I felt him instantly. When we follow after him, it may be a slow praise. It may be a fast, running, shouting praise. But as long as we follow after him in the way he wants us to praise, as long as we will get up, praise him, and serve him in the way he wants us, we will continue to be up. We won't have to get back up. If we fall down, we have to get back up if we want to follow after God. Just as in Jericho, as they begin to get up each morning after Joshua had said they were going to march around Jericho, none of the people in the camp liked it. They thought Joshua's crazy. Then Joshua began to doubt. But then God gave him an encouragement. Joshua was walking around and he heard the enemy. And they were talking how they were scared of Israel's God. They were scared of the mighty acts God had done. And then as they began to march, day one, they marched around once, day two, once, three, once, four, once, five, once, six, once. Then the seventh day, by its perfect number, they marched around seven times. All the time they had been quiet. On the seventh day, at the end of the march, the priests in the front sounded seven trumpets. And all the people were to shout and praise God. They began to shout, they began to praise God, and God delivered them to Jericho. Those walls came down, just as the Jericho people had not believed would happen. They had the best wall. This was before China. They had the best wall in their time. It was defeated by praise to God. It was defeated by Israel's God, by our God. As Israel began to wander from faith, God, they began to lose more and more of God. They kept the traditions. They still do traditions. They still have Passover. They still have the feast, tabernacles. They still have all the feasts that God had given them in Genesis. But they still don't have everything that God had given them. Those that believe that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will follow after him. All in his creation, there are so many things that are brought about in three. The three-leaf clover, the poison ivy. It may not be so great now, but then God had put it here for a reason. You have yet to find out why, but it's here for somewhat reason. And there are so many things that God has given us to confirm that he is here. So many things that he has given us to strengthen our faith. So many things that he has given to us personally to strengthen us, to guide us, and to begin to show his power to us. He will continue to do it. That's why we need to get up and praise him for what's going on back then, for what's going on now, for what will continue to happen. For when we get up and serve him, we will begin to get more and more to praise him for, and more to praise him for later, more and more to praise him for in the past. When I said past, I was in the past. Every passing second, we are ticking down to the time that Jesus is going to come back. And I remember a story about a man that had been a preacher. He had went all over the world. He was a great missionary. He's well known. He was a Christian. When he got to heaven, he saw a pot of gold going around, and the people would reach in and pull out their crowns. He reached in. He dug, and he dug, and he dug. He got scared. He finally found his crown, a tiny crown to throw at Jesus' feet. He looked next to him. There was an elderly woman that had praised God, had followed after God, and begun to do just as God had asked. And she reached in there, and she pulled out this giant crown that she could barely hold. And when she threw that at Jesus' feet, this was a dream that the man had. He had said that he began to serve after God after that. God had revealed to him that even what man may see, God sees more. Just as man sees the outside, God sees the inside. Just as we may see that an apple is ripe or some sort of nut is all ready to eat, we can open it and there can be worms all inside of it. We can see what may look good on the outside. When we get to the inside, it may be bad. It may be all moldy. It may be no good to eat. But when we have, ever we follow after God, we'll be that perfect creation. We'll be that perfect tree that brings forth good fruit. We'll be the one but brings forth ripe and good fruit. The people will see, the people will follow after us, find it. And as we begin to bear good fruit, we'll become an example to be able to let others grow good fruit. We will begin to follow after God. We will begin to be an example to praise Him to others. We may not know we are being an example. There are so many times that people are examples that they have no idea. And then they may learn about it so many years later. And they made the biggest impact on that person's life than anyone else did, and they didn't even know it. It can have a positive impact. It can have a negative impact. It can have no impact at all because they see just how bad it is that they stop following after you. Then God calls us to be that perfect example. God calls us to begin to minister to others, to those that are with us, the same age, younger, older. God will use anybody. God will use anybody to be an example. He will use anybody to follow after Him. He will use anybody to minister to everybody. There's a song that says, "I'm just nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that saved my soul." When we are a humble heart, we will become a humble vessel to promote our jealous God. Our jealous God that deserves only our praise. And He is the only one that deserves it. God calls us to help brothers and sisters by praising them for their good job, for the great job they did in singing and playing an instrument and following after God. But ultimately, our praise is to go after God. It is to go to God and to God only. And whenever we do this, we may be falling down. We cannot reach God no matter how hard we pray. But then when we begin to praise Him, God hears praise, and He will more often answer to praise than He will to begging. Because God wants us to praise Him. He wants us to be the humble vessel praising Him. More often than not, I find myself getting more in praise than I do falling on my face. And just pleading and pleading. God wants us to do for Him. He don't want us to sit and cry and bawl. It may be what God calls us to do. But God wants us to get up and then praise Him for it. He wants us to get up and then praise Him for what He has done in our lives. If any of us are knocked down, I just want to leave us with this one thing, that we need to get up and serve Him and praise Him, and we will continue to be up until we be given the choice. Hopefully, we'll climb another rung up the ladder. We'll follow after God a little more and a little more and a little more until we're helping others up, until we're following after God to help others up. But only if we will call upon God. Just as the scripture I've said, any of those that call upon God will get their answer. And if we call upon Him in faith, He will raise us back up. I just want to leave us with the fact that if we will call upon Him and we'll get up and then continue to serve Him and then praise Him for the way He had helped us, that we will continue to be up, and that we will continue to follow Him.
Get up in Jesus' name. the Lord is calling daily those who will be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Praise God. Get up and serve Him. That's awesome. Get up and praise Him. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Hallelujah to the Lamb. A lot of times, there's a great opportunity to serve the Lord. We just got to open our eyes to see. Because serving will always take sacrifice. Amen. Serving will always take effort. Glory to our God. Thank you, Brother Titus, for sharing that with us tonight. Praise the Lord. So if we could, let's get up. Hallelujah. See, it wasn't so hard, was it? Praise God. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Amen. Let's just lift our hands unto the Lord tonight. Father in heaven, we praise you. Oh, we praise you, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, for your wonderful works among men. Lord God, saving these souls that are standing here tonight. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord, for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for this house to worship in. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the saints of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.